Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. While landing the 2014 Winter Olympic Games was a crowning political achievement for Russian President Vladimir Putin, preparations for the Sochi Games have not been so triumphant. With just 3 weeks until opening ceremonies, security officials are actively chasing down members of a terrorist group that has publicly threatened to disrupt the Games. The seaside resort town of Sochi and neighboring sites of Olympic events have a long history of anti-government friction. Only a day's drive from Chechnya, the region borders recently disputed territory with Georgia, and was the site of an alleged genocide perpetrated by Russian troops in the 19th century. Writer Brett Forrest examined the landscape of the upcoming 2014 Games for the January issue of National Geographic. Brett, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia. Good to be here.
So hosting the Olympics, showcase for any nation, what kind of statement is Putin making with these Olympics, other than a willingness to spend what looks like a record amount of money?
He's making a series of statements. You point to the money, and it's more than $50 billion, which makes it the most expensive Olympics ever built. So that certainly sends a message that Russia, the state, is committed to these games in a very serious manner. The Sochi area is and has been a bit of a rundown resort area, and there was no infrastructure there. So this whole thing was built from scratch, and Putin is showing the world that Russia can do this sort of project, do it in a big way, and impress the world with the way they're going to put on the games, which we'll shortly see.
Can you give us a sense of what it was like and how it's been transformed for the games?
Certainly. Before Sochi won the IOC bid to host the games in 2007, Sochi was a summer resort town. It's the only subtropical city in Russia, which is a very strange idea when you think it's going to host not the Summer Olympics, but the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. But for many generations, going back through the Soviet period and the Tsarist period, Sochi was a vacation destination for the elites. But since the Soviet Union fell, it kind of fell into disrepair. When Russia won the bid, they poured in all this money and started to severely transform the landscape. That involved roadway projects, new power plants, a lot of infrastructure projects, but also things that you'll see with your own eyes, the venues for the games themselves. There are two new main areas where events are going to be taking place. One on the coast of the Black Sea, and that's where all the skating events are going to take place. And then they built a combined rail and highway, which leads up into the mountains, about 30 miles away into the Caucasus Mountains. That's where all the skiing events are going to take place. And almost all of it, I'd say 95% of it, was built from scratch.
I'd like to hear more about this mountainous area, Krasnaya Polyana, if I'm saying that properly, where several of the Olympic events will be held. This is a very significant place in Russian history and a symbolic place for many Russians for different reasons. Can you sum up that, you know, multi-century history for us in just a couple seconds?
I'll do my best. In the Tsarist period, in the early 19th century, Russia finally gained control of the Northern Caucasus after it had been in and out of the hands of the Ottoman and Persian empires. But it was a very difficult area to subdue because it's highly mountainous. The Caucasus have the same dimensions, more or less, as the Alps. There are a lot of different ethnic groups within the mountains. They speak different languages. They have different cultures. The Russians went in there, the Tsarist army, and they waged a war that went on and off for the better part of a century. Now, the war came to its finality in Krasnaya Polyana, and that is where the Circassian people, who were native to that area, finally surrendered. That is where we're going to have the skiing events at the Olympics.
I get the impression from your article that Putin is trying to signal to those at home that he's really in charge. However, the fatal bombing in Volgograd earlier this month highlighted security concerns for the Games. Is it the location of the Games that stirred up tensions, or might security risks be a big concern anywhere in Russia?
Yeah, Russia is a difficult country to govern. We often expect Russia to be like America, and it's not. Terrorism, homegrown, is and remains a serious concern in Russia. And the reason it's important for this discussion is that the epicenter of the Islamic insurgency in Russia is just a couple hundred miles away from where the Olympics are going to be held. And the people who are more or less in charge of this band of separatists and terrorists is to affect these games negatively in some way. Having said that, however, the amount of security that the Russian state is bringing to bear on the Olympics is, as you can imagine, just immense. There are no fewer than 30,000 special forces troops dotted around the mountains around Krasnaya Poliana and Sochi, sleeping in tents with their Kalashnikovs, there to prevent, you know, what the Islamic insurgency would certainly like to do.
We're speaking with Brett Forrest. He writes for ESPN. He's going to be headed to the Sochi Olympics, but spent a lot of time in the area to write an article about the landscape, the geopolitics, the history of the area, and his story is in the latest issue of National Geographic. Well, also helping to boost security at the Games will be the Cossacks, which we would probably label a citizen militia of sorts if they were here. Who are they, and how do they fit into the landscape of Russian history and these Games?
Well, the Cossacks are an important group in terms of Russian history. These were a group of ragtag band of escaped convicts, escaped serfs, the third and fourth sons of families, meaning that they wouldn't inherit anything and they were on their own. These were groups of people who roamed the edges of the Russian Empire, where the Russian state really wasn't in control, where there was no Russian military. And the Cossacks were given license by the Tsar to more or less self-govern in return for militarily keeping challengers to Russian territory at bay. Now, during the Soviet period, the Cossacks were repressed by the Soviets. Starting in the early 90s, they were regathered. They became a very popular force with the people. And the government recognized this, and they realized, you know, we should maybe start funding these guys. Now, for the Sochi Olympics, the government has more or less reactivated them. So you'll see in Sochi policemen alongside Cossacks wearing different uniforms patrolling jointly. And their role is to more or less keep an eye out for people who might threaten the games.
Mm. Your talk of traditional Russian values may, in Cossack terms, mean street corner justice. But there's also a lot of concern that these are not law enforcement officers who are trained to detect terrorists. What is the likelihood that the Cossacks could actually stop an attack?
Well, I don't think the Cossacks' role is to stop a terrorist attack. Their role is, like you said, to mete out street justice. And what that refers to, quite honestly, is, you know, hooliganism. Guys who are on the street corner, maybe had a little too much to drink, starting a fight. Having said that, however, the governor of the Krasnodar region, who himself is a Cossack and often wears the traditional garb, he has said on more than one occasion that the role of the Cossacks is to act as more or less an ethnic filter, because this area of Russia is the gateway to European Russia. And there's a real fear among the people who hold traditional values in Russia that there are too many people who are not ethnically Russian, who are migrating northward, not only to perhaps perpetrate violence and terrorism, but to infiltrate society, let's say, to take jobs, and to alter the ethnic landscape of cities like Moscow and St. Petersburg. So there's a real controversial role that the Cossacks play as well.
Well, as we've seen in many other Olympiads and many other host cities, regions get completely transformed for the Games. What do you think is going to happen after the Olympics are over and the eyes of the world move on from Sochi?
That is a real question, a real concern, because the stated goal of the government vis-a-vis Sochi is not just to put on a great and special and successful Olympics for Russians and for foreign guests, but also to leave something lasting in Sochi. What they want to do and what they believe they are doing and have done is create a new modern European ski resort. Now, they have built some really impressive structures there and resorts. And the skiing in Krasna Poljana is special. There's great snow there, great elevation. But the thing is, it's quite hard to get there. The infrastructure isn't really great. The roads around the area, they don't lend themselves to easy driving. Most flights that you take to get there have to go through Moscow. So there's a real question. They've spent tens of billions of dollars creating this new beautiful place. But will anyone actually go there to use it once the Olympics are over? And a lot of people doubt that anyone will, in great numbers at least.
Well, Brett Forrest, have a terrific time at the Olympics and stay safe.
Thank you, Virginia.
Brett Forrest, he writes for Vanity Fair, The Atlantic, Rolling Stone, and ESPN. His article, Putin's Party, appears in the January issue of National Geographic magazine. And you can see an interactive feature of the Sochi region and the transformation for the Olympics, among other terrific photographs from the region, at wordofmouthradio.org.